Let us stand for prayer. Dear Lord, we pray for Tim now as he opens your word to us. We ask as members of your congregation that we may have open hearts to listen what your word has to say to each of us. Let us listen, Lord, and let us act on that word. In your name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So where do we start? How do we guard our heart? Well, we read from Psalm 86, and in verse 11, the psalmist says, I believe he probably cries out to God. He says, give me an undivided heart. Give me an undivided heart. And I will glorify your name forever. Sorry, that I may fear your name. And I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. But give me an undivided heart. And actually, the preceding verses to that, if you were following the reading as it when he's sort of saying, you know, among the gods there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you've made, and they come and worship you. He says, for you are great and you do marvellous deeds. You alone are God. You know, he's saying, look, there's no comparison. Nothing comes close. No one is better than God, he's saying. God, you're above all gods. No one else, nothing else in all the earth is like you. And yet somehow, he knows that somehow, for some reason, we are drawn away from being totally sold out for having this heart that runs after God and God only. For some reason we're drawn away from that. Yeah, we've got this amazing God, and yet somehow we run after other things, and that gives us this it stops us from having this undivided attention on following him and living according to his purposes. I mean, why is it? Why is it when we've got a God who created the universe, this living God who is alive, and as the psalmist says, he can repeat everything that God has done through the history of the nation. And yet he has to cry out for an undivided heart. I mean, why wouldn't we have a heart that is totally sold out on this God? And later on in the story of Israel, you know, they've been rescued from Egypt. They've been formed into a nation. They have this God who journeys with them and become everything. And says, look, if you follow me, then everything will go well with you as a nation, and you'll attract other nations, and you'll be a light to the other nation. Just follow me and my purposes for you. And yet they drifted away from following God. And they'd even then been overrun by invading armies, and they'd been taken off into exile. And so God sends them the prophet Ezekiel. And he prophesies from God about the way that they would return to the land of Israel and into Jerusalem. And in chapter 11, verses 18 to 21, I think we have that on the slide, it says this. It says, God says to the prophet, it says, they will return to it, that's Israel, and remove all its vile images and detestable idols. And God says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. And then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts are devoted to their vile images and detestable idols, I will bring down on their own heads what they have done, declares the sovereign Lord. So God says, I will give them an undivided heart. See, God knows we struggle. We really want to follow God's ways. That is our heart's desire, isn't it? We really want to be sold out on God. We really want to do what God says. We want to fulfill the purposes that God has given us. I think probably most of us who you know, say that Jesus is our Saviour, that Jesus is Lord, most of us, our heart's desire is to be 100% sold on God. But for some reason, it doesn't quite work out in practice. Just look at a practical example, something practical for a moment. And we find it in the story of Jesus and in John's Gospel. So in John 12, verse 37, you know, Jesus has been doing some miraculous things and there are people standing around, and in verse 37 it says, even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. And it says a bit more, and then it goes on in verse 42 and 43, it says, yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. An example of a divided heart. They loved human praise more than their praise from God. And so they wouldn't acknowledge their faith openly. Who did they want to please? Who did they want to please? Yes.
In that opinion, I believe that they wanted to please themselves.
Okay. Yep. Okay, so they were, in the end, they wanted to please themselves, a fear of being put out of the synagogue. Their position would be gone. So that's a divided heart, isn't it? They accept Jesus as Saviour, but hang on, what about if I acknowledge that? What about, again? Yeah. Yeah. And that is what we are faced with sometimes, isn't it? Okay, if I go on this journey, if I do this, what will happen to my family? That's often the point. But I'd say this is an example of a divided heart. And maybe this is an example of something that often comes to us. You know, who are we pleasing? And who are we trying to please in circumstances? Is it ourselves? Is it the people that we're engaging with? Or is it God? I wonder even if in this week you've had to make a choice of whether to please God or to please someone else. I wonder if you've been faced with that choice. Do I please God? I think this is what God will want me to be doing, but actually this person over here, they're needing something else. Their expectations are something different. And these leaders who believed in him, they didn't want to openly acknowledge their faith. And I wonder if this week we've been there as well, whether there's been a time when we didn't want to openly acknowledge our faith because of what others might have thought or said or done, what others might think. I think, yes, there are times when we need to be sensitive and not sort of arrogant or whatever. We need to be sensitive, but actually sometimes there are times when we need to openly acknowledge our faith. We can't always use the excuse, well, I need to be sensitive or I need to take note of this and that. Sometimes God asks us to talk about the faith, our faith, what he's done in our lives, what he's done in our hearts, and the transformation that has taken place. Because how else are other people going to know that God is alive, that he's at work and he's active, other than your testimony? But sometimes we have this divided heart. Do I please God, or do I please those who are around me? An undivided heart says, God comes first in all things. I was thinking, just as the one choir were singing that song, they said, it said something about Jesus at your feet. To dwell and never leave. Jesus at your feet, to dwell and never leave. And in some respects it sounds like, you want to be sort of in this place and, worshipping or whatever. And this is it. And then it's different when you go into the workplace. But I think it's when you're in the workplace or that environment where you have that opportunity to talk about your faith, that's where Jesus at your feet, I want to be and never leave. And so I want to own you there in the workplace. I want to be at your feet and never leave when I'm in the workplace. It's not here on a Sunday where I want to be at your feet. It's when I'm in the workplace, because you come with me, Jesus, and I want to be at your feet there and openly confess that you are Lord or whatever it is. I want to worship you there. It's not just about a Sunday. That undivided heart that says, wherever I am, Jesus, you are there with me, and that is where I'm going to worship you. I'm going to give you everything there. And I think an undivided heart says this. The next slide. An undivided heart says that God is good and can be trusted in all things. An undivided heart says God is good and can be trusted in all things. A divided heart says, actually, I'm not sure sometimes whether God knows best. His plans might not quite be right for me. It might not always be good for me. He can't always be trusted to get it right. So sometimes I have to do as I think best. So in this sense, or thinking about John's gospel, they sort of said, well, actually, I don't want to be put out of the synagogue because, what about my position and what about my family? They will be dishonest. And so, God, you don't quite know what will happen if I confess you as Lord in this place, in this situation. So I'm going to sort of take things into my own hands, God, because you don't know best. That's what a divided heart says in the end day. There are times, God, when you can't be trusted. There are times, God, when you don't know what's good for me. I think an undivided heart says, God, you are good. And God, you can be trusted in all things. You will get it right. I think sometimes we think that God is out to rob us of some of the fun and joy in life. And I think somehow we think, look, if I'm fully consumed by God, then life is just going to be one hard battle. It's going to be full of austerity. If I'm fully committed to God, then I'm going to have to give all my money to the poor. I'm going to have to be in church 5 days a week or whatever, 7 nights a week. I'm going to have to be just so committed that there won't be time for family or friends or anything like that. I think it's always good to look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. I think he was fully committed to the way of Father God. Wouldn't you? Didn't Jesus seem to be a person who sort of said, God, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, wherever you want me to go, Father God, I will go. I will do it. I think Jesus was fully committed to the will and the purpose of his Father God. He was 100%, I'm going to do what it takes, Lord God, for your will to be done. And along that road for Jesus, there was hardship, there was suffering, there was rejection, and there was pain. And yet, when I read the Gospels, when I read the story of Jesus, I hear laughter and joy. I see Jesus wonder at the things of creation, which is quite amazing, really, isn't it? I mean, he made it in the first place, and yet he keeps coming back to it and sort of says, oh gosh, look at that seed. Look what happens when it's planted. Look what it becomes. And life can become like that. I think he takes joy in what he has created. I see in him a love in relationships, which goes beyond the love that we can seem to manage or muster. I see a sort of lack of anxiety about things. I see a life that is attractive and draws people to him. You know what? Jesus had an undivided heart. Let's see the next. Yet Jesus had an undivided heart, and he wasn't miserable. And I think sometimes we think, look, if I'm consumed by God, if I'm passionate about God, if I'm going to live with this undivided heart, then I'm going to be the most miserable person there is, because God wants it all. And yet, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Someone who was passionate about his Father's will, consumed to bring salvation to those who needed it, to bring healing. And yes, there was suffering, there was pain, there's all of the stuff that life throws at us. And yet he wasn't miserable. There was something about Jesus which was spoke about joy and peace and was attractive. And so don't think about being 100% God, having this undivided heart, is going to make you a totally miserable person. I think it should be the opposite. And actually, it's sometimes when we struggle with this divided heart, when we're not sure, and we're sort of playing one off against the other, that's actually when we become miserable. Because all the time, we're trying to juggle two sides of who we really want to be. And just lastly, as I was preparing for this, another thought came to mind. And I thought this whole thing is a bit of a chicken and egg situation, isn't it? Because the psalmist says, give me an undivided heart. And through Ezekiel, God says, I will give them an undivided heart. It would seem to be a gift. It would seem to be a gift, wouldn't it? God gives us an undivided heart. It comes from him. And so does that mean when we become a Christian and we say, oh, give me an undivided heart, that, well, we automatically make all the right choices? We're always choosing to do the God-pleasing thing. It's just natural. It's just part of who we are. He's given us this undivided heart. Or is it that when we are faced with choices, those choices which either please God or please others, or please God or please ourselves, well, when we then actually make that choice to please God, we choose to have that undivided heart? Or could we say that we develop an undivided heart by the choices that we make, those kingdom choices? Every time we make a kingdom choice, we develop an undivided heart. I don't know. Is it a gift? Or do we develop this undivided heart by wanting to make the choices of the kingdom? I don't know which it is, but what I do know is that actually without the Holy Spirit, without God's Spirit having a real influence in our life, then it is even more difficult to know often what the God choices are. You know, those pleasing God choices. Without the Holy Spirit in our life, it's difficult to know what those God choices, those God-pleasing choices are. It's the Holy Spirit of God that enlivens us, or livens those choices to us. It sort of presents them. And we no longer have this hard heart towards God, as the prophet Ezekiel says. You know, God says, I'll take away their hard heart, that heart of stone. You know, and I'll replace it with the heart of flesh, that heart that is enlivened to the things of God. So I think we can say this morning, if we say, God, give me an undivided heart, we're saying, Holy Spirit, come and fill my heart. If we want to say this morning, give me an undivided heart, we want to say, God, Holy Spirit, come and fill my heart. And we say, as you fill my heart, Holy Spirit, may I trust that God is good. May I trust that God is good in all things. May I trust that he is for me and not against me. May I trust, as it says in Psalm 86, it says, the psalmist says, great is your love towards me. And if we can trust in that statement day by day, great is your love towards me, then we are more likely to walk with this undivided heart. And so with that undivided heart, we say to God, may I make decisions and choices and think in and act in ways that reflect this firm belief, Lord God, in who you are. You are the God who is good. You are the God who can be trusted in all things. You're the God where we can say, great is your love towards me. And if I live with that faith, then may I make choices that reflect that. And so this morning we say to God, guard my heart, Lord Jesus. Give me an undivided heart, which says God is good and can be trusted. guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Lord Jesus, we make this prayer this morning. Give me an undivided heart. Holy Spirit, come and fill my heart. Because everything I do actually flows from this innermost being, this core of who I am. And that's the core I want to be filled by you, Lord God, through your Holy Spirit this morning. This is my prayer. And I pray it in the name of Jesus, whose death on the cross and the resurrection made it possible that you could come, Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we just have an opportunity again this morning to respond to God's word. And this morning you might want to say, Lord God, give me an undivided heart. Come and fill my heart by your Holy Spirit. And if that's the case and you want to step forward and pray that prayer with perhaps people who can pray with you, then do that. Or maybe just God has spoken to you this morning about other things, or there are other things in life which you are journeying with. Maybe there's choices you need to make, and this morning you want to say, God, give me an undivided heart towards you in these choices. Then we can make that prayer again this morning. So whatever's on your heart, if you want to pray about it, because I think that's where essentially we come and we meet with God and we put faith into action in a way in prayer, then maybe these few moments, these last moments of our worship together, we can let God speak into those moments. Just a simple chorus. But just remember, as we give up everything to follow, Jesus wasn't miserable. And we can love life in all its fullness, even amongst its struggles, as we follow him. Thank you. And we just sing a song, I Come in Simplicity. And just that opportunity, if God's spoken to you this morning, then it's good to respond and say, yeah, give me this undivided heart, Lord God. And maybe you just need to perhaps raise a hand where you are and say, Lord God, that is what I want in my heart and life, an undivided heart. But sometimes it's good just to come and sort of pray that through. So we don't want to, you know, prolong that, but just that opportunity. So maybe you just stand and sing, I come in simplicity, looking for purity, to worship you.